Today's reading is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him.
Okay, welcome everyone. Thanks for joining in the summer fun so far. And welcome to our fourth and final summer fun series, where we're slowing down and paying attention to the world that God made. And we're seeing what God teaches us about himself through his world. The sermons will be pretty short, like kind of 10 minutes-ish, 12 minutes, just to make time for fun in other ways that we can share with each other, like the barbecue, the Sarvel, the games before. And then next week, we'll be back to kind of normal shape of church. But in the first week of the summer series, we looked at the scene in the mountain, so it's just to remind you all, and that showed us that God being with people was completely unnatural. But because what God wanted to be with us so much, he longed to be with us, he turns creation inside out to make that happen. And then in the second week, we looked at grass and flowers, and they showed us that human faithfulness fades very quickly, but God's faithfulness lasts forever, and so we can rely on him. And then last week, in the third week, we looked at two really strange animals, the ostrich and the leviathan, and they showed us that God can't be contained neatly into the boxes that we want to put him in. The leviathan is untamable and the ostrich is incomprehensible. And how much more so then the God that made them? And then today we wrap it all up. We're going to be looking at time. So it's kind of a sneaky one. It's not quite like the others, but it still is part of the world that God made. So it counts. My question to you guys, to start off with, to chat on your tables, is what was your favorite time or season of life and why? What was your favorite time or season of life and why? So it could be a weather season like summer or winter, or it could be a life season like high school or early 20s or something. What was your favorite time of life, favorite season of life, and why? So just 30 seconds on your table to have a chat, and then we'll hear some answers. All right, guys, what's some of your favorite times in life? Who wants to shout out? What have we got? Free mortgage. Yep, that's a very nice and free life, free mortgage. What else have we got? Sorry? Oh, your teens, Steve. Why your teens? No bulging disc. Steve, Deanna, Steve didn't say it. Steve didn't say it. It was Lindy. Yeah. So the teens are a special time. Everyone loves the teens. Lots of freedom. Freedom in a different way. What else? What's another favorite period of life? One more to finish off. Steve's dobbing you in, red team. Favorite time of life, favorite season of life. Getting married. Guys. Caught a good one, Brain. You caught a good one. Yeah, so really interesting choices from all kind of different parts of life there. And what I want you to notice is that the times of life that you love kind of belong in that time. So for Steve to say his teenage years, if he were to live like a teenager now that he's married and has two kids, it would not be good. If he stays out till 2 a.m., if he plays games all night, if he doesn't... Right. In theory, it's not good. In theory, it's not good. Like the time to do that is when you're a teen, right? When you do that and you're a teen, it's the best. Like you're not tired by staying up to two. There's no problem with waking up at midday, all that sort of stuff, right? The things that you love about the time of life belong at that time. So I want you to hold that in your head, that your favorite time of life kind of belongs there as we jump through Ecclesiastes and think about what Ecclesiastes says time teaches us about God. So Ecclesiastes is this book of teachings kind of by this guy named the teacher. He calls himself the teacher. And he observes the workings of the world and all its different intricacies, and he gives conclusions about it. And the thing he's observing in this passage is, of course, time or seasons, basically two words meaning the same thing. And he says in verse 1, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And he means absolutely everything. So verse 2, even a time to be born is allocated and a time to die is allocated. And the other verses cover everything in the middle. Verse 4, it's like time for different emotions. Verse 5, there's a time to turn outwards and a time to turn inwards. And it goes on with all these observations. There seems to be a time allotted to every single thing in human life. And I want you to notice that includes not just the good things like healing and laughing, but also time for bad things like killing or crying. Killing or crying has a time. For everything allotted to a good thing, he sees time allotted to the opposite as well, and then vice versa. And from our perspective, going through time with no control over time, it might seem like it's chaos that runs the world. Things just happen and we have no control. But what the teacher says is the world's actually really wonderfully ordered and everything has a time. And initially this seems comforting. It sounds really good. God's got it in control. It's nice to know that. And our part in it then would be to see how God's made the world and then search for the right time of things. Is this the time to do that or the time to do the other thing? But the teacher doesn't actually see it that positively. In verse 9, he asks, what does the worker gain from his toil? So initially it's a strange question because what's this got to do with work and toil? In verse 10, he explains what toil is. He's looked at how God's ordained time and ordained the seasons, and for everything, having its place, his conclusion is that this is just a burden to humans. Everything having a time in this world is a burden. When you hear verse 11 on its own, at first it's a really lovely verse. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity on the hearts of humans, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the very beginning to the end. So it's one of the loveliest thoughts in the Bible, right? Everything, all these things, good things, bad things, at the right time become beautiful things. So sometimes it's time to build a house, and then sometimes it's time to tear it down. Sometimes it's time to cry, but sometimes it's time to laugh. And even war, at the right time, he says, can be beautiful. When your world is good, peace is good. But when your world's filled with evil, war, even though it's absolutely brutal, at the right time, it's a thing of beauty, or it has an appropriateness about it. So there's a time for war and a time for peace. And he set eternity on the hearts of man. That word eternity is really hard to understand, but in context, I think what it's getting at is that it's contrasting time, all these things that have their time, with the thing that God's put into the human heart. God didn't allot a time for the human heart, but he gave it eternity, something that transcends time. And what he's saying is that the human is really different to the rest of the world in this sense. So on its own, it's a really lovely verse. But in the context, the teacher says two things These two things, making time beautiful at the right time and then setting eternity in our hearts, is actually a burden. It's a burden too much for us to bear because it's a dissonance in our lives that we can't really resolve. They cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So the world's been ordered by time, and humans have been made with eternity in their hearts, enough that they question time and seek the right time, but not enough to figure it out. And so this burden, these two things, timing for the world and eternity in our hearts, are actually a burden to the human. And you can see that really clearly in the modern world, right? We've put time everywhere. Time is on our phones, time's on our computers, time's on the wall, it's in our cars, it's on our wrists. Everywhere we look, we're not far from being able to find the time if we want to find it. And we can measure time down to the millisecond or the nanosecond or smaller. So we put time everywhere and we measure it to the nth degree so that no one is ever late. Everyone's on time. But late for what? We know what the time is, but we don't know what time it is. Is it time to change jobs? Is it time to get married? Is it time to grow up? Is it time to give up? What's the time for? So back to verse 9, the teacher is really asking, what is there to gain from all this toil trying to find the right time? If it's an impossible task, why are we striving after it? It's just a burden in that case, right? Sure, there's a right time for things, and we're built in a way to desire to find it, but we're just never going to find what it is. We're never going to know what the right time is. So he asks, what's the point? What do we gain? So it's a kind of dark question that he's got for us. But there is some light. His answer to that question is to hold two truths alongside this burden. The first is in verse 12. He says, he knows that there is nothing better than to be happy, to just enjoy and to do good in life. Because we're never going to figure it out. We're never going to know the best time to do the best thing. So the best thing to do is just to be happy and enjoy the process. And he goes on, the fact that it's possible to actually be satisfied in the toil for searching for time, in the toil for searching for the right time, even though we rarely find it, maybe never find it, is actually a gift from God. So that's the first thing he holds against this burden to make it bearable. The second thing is in verse 14. He says he knows that unlike us, all things that God does will endure forever. The word translated forever in that verse, in verse 14, is the word that was earlier translated as eternity. So the same thing in verse 11 that God said in our hearts is in nature like the very works of God, or even like God himself. It's enduring, it's eternal, it's eternity. And he's made it this way, it says, so that people will revere him. It's a bit hard to understand, but what I think it's saying in this context is that this thing that makes us seek the right time to do things, our internal drive to find the right thing to do, is the thing that will ultimately make us seek God as well. It's displayed in all of God's works. So when we fail to enact eternity or to find the right time, but we see that God does it so effortlessly, it makes us fear or revere him because he's able to accomplish so easily what's impossible for us. And then in some way, seeing him do that draws us towards him. Because the more we're frustrated by our toil in finding the right time, the more we see God create things that endure forever so easily, the more we're going to kind of seek God's eternal nature, the more we want to move towards him. So while searching for the right time is actually a burden on us, there's a gift in it that despite finding the right time or not, We can find satisfaction and goodness in the process, even though the end result might never satisfy us. And actually, that unsatisfying end result in the search for the right time is actually what draws us to God, because we just can't find the right time, no matter how much we try. But we see God, who can do it so easily. And so we're drawn towards him. And then this passage, to kind of bring it forward in time, shines an interesting light on the coming of Jesus. If you remember what Jesus said at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark when we went through the series, he said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near." And if we think about that through the lens of this passage, it's saying the ordained season for God to be with his people is here. That's what Jesus was saying. So it's not just that eternity, our seeking of the right time, draws us towards God, but God, whose very nature is eternity, at the right time comes to be with us too. So what does time teach us about God? It teaches us that toil and frustration, or finding the right time for things, is made to elude us. We're never quite going to get the right timing. But that lack of satisfaction or that dissonance is made to draw us to God. And time also teaches us that God's generous, because even if we fail to find the right time, which we will fail to do, he's made the world in a way where we can be satisfied in that and we can still find joy in that toil. So that's the world that God made. That's the end of our series. Hope you enjoyed a kind of different look at God through a different lens. Let me pray, and then we'll be singing again, I think. Father, thank you for the way that you've made this world. You've put all sorts of things in it for our joy and for our pleasure, but all these things as well teach us more and more about you. Help us to be observant of the world. Help us to pay attention to it, and help us to understand what it teaches us about you. We pray that you would help us to know you more and more as time goes by. Amen.